You'll notice at the beginning of Mass, if you're at a daily Mass, it's recited, but if you're at a weekend Mass, except for the 6:30 a.m., we sing our hymns out of the introit hymnal. And so the introit hymnal is basically the entrance hymns for the Mass. And the word introit literally means to enter into. And so that's kind of how we, you might say, gather ourselves for worship. The introit, or the entrance antiphon, which is recited on weekdays, it goes back, way back to the early church. And so there were long processions that were part of the ceremony that the ministers took part in as they approached the altar. And so they would take like a psalm verse, and it would be kind of repeated and chanted and sung as they entered into the church to celebrate the Mass. And so every single Mass has an entrance antiphon or an introit that can be recited or sung. And so, for example, if you see in the intro hymnal here, we are on the 14th Sunday of Ordinary Time. So on page 50, the purpose of the introit, okay, it's to, one of it is practical, to accompany the ministers as they come into the church. All right, so we can understand that. But another part of the introit, or the entrance antiphon, those are synonymous, okay, the introit or the entrance antiphon, is to set the tone for the Mass of the day, set the tone for the Mass of the day in the spirit of the church's season. So every Mass is the same, but every Mass is different. Well, every Mass has the liturgy of the Word, every Mass has the liturgy of the Eucharist, but every Mass has proper prayers, just like we have proper names. We're all human beings, right? But we're all different. And so we have our own individual names. Well, each Mass, you might say, has its own individual name. And so there are prayers that are specific for each Sunday of the church year. And that same thing goes with the entrance antiphon or the introit. So on page 50, within your temple, mighty Lord, we ponder and receive your love. And so the idea then is that this message, this verse from Psalm 48, kind of sets the spirit, sets the tone for our worship today. And so we hear about a temple, right? And what happens in this temple? Well, we receive your merciful love, O Lord. We receive your merciful love within your temple. Now, it's interesting. Jesus goes into the synagogue, into the temple, right, in the gospel, back to Nazareth, to his hometown, and his family, his friends, his co-workers, everybody that knew him, totally bought in and embraced it. No, right? Not at all. And he wasn't able to perform any mighty work or deed there because of their lack of faith. So here he goes to the temple, to the synagogue. And remember, keep in mind, for the Israelite people, the synagogue or the temple, that was the place where one encountered the living God. That's where you... So we have a church, and we say we come to church to worship God and to meet God, but it was much more for the Israelite people, the place of the temple, the synagogue, because it was not a place, the place where one meets God. And so we can understand that the threat of the temple being destroyed as it was, right, in the first century would have been devastating, because the Israelite people would have no place to meet, encounter, offer sacrifice to God. And so we hear this language about in the temple we encounter the merciful love of God. And so we can think about it going back to the place of the temple for the Israelite people and the Jewish religion. But what's interesting is, how does Jesus relate to this? Well, he comes into the temple. He comes into the synagogue, all right, because not only are the people coming to meet God in the synagogue, in the temple, but they're going to meet God because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they reject him. And so what happens here is you have the beginning of the end of worship in the temple, and a transition into a new temple. And so that's why the early church fathers, and this is reiterated by Pope Benedict XVI in his book, he wrote A Whole Life of Christ. It's three volumes. Okay, in the volume on the Holy Week, he talks about the temple, and he says that the old temple is replaced by a new temple, and Jesus himself becomes the temple. Jesus becomes the place where we encounter and meet God. And that's why the early church fathers called Jesus the autobasileia, the kingdom of God in person. So interesting shift. Now the temple, the place where we can go beyond anything natural and human, is found in the person of Jesus. And what happens there? Of course we encounter God, but it's not just any kind of encounter. In that entrance antiphon, we sung, "In your temple, we receive your merciful love." Merciful love is why we come here. Now that sounds wonderful and awesome if we really got and understood what merciful love was. That's why the saints are always paying attention to the crucifix, because that's the great expression of merciful love. But the sad thing is that we really receive such a small part of it, because we're consumed and occupied by so many other things. Jesus couldn't do any powerful work because of the people's lack of faith. He was ready. He was giving completely already his merciful love, the Father's merciful love, his entire life when he was in the synagogue. What that tells us is that it's not just on God's part that our salvation depends. We also have to respond. And so because those people in Nazareth did not respond, they did not get to share in the powerful works of Christ. So we have a part to play. You can kind of think about the relationship between maybe a mother and her son or daughter. The mother, you know, bestows and pours out and is always ready to sacrifice everything for their child. Well, most days, right? And sometimes it happens, or maybe often it happens, is that the kid doesn't get it, doesn't appreciate it, right? And it can get to the point where even a kid can kind of just reject it. But that love is still being poured out, but the kid doesn't benefit from it whatsoever. Well, that same thing happens with us in our relationship with God, that the merciful love of God, he's constantly pouring out. He wants us to be transformed and to be awe-inspired by it. But he's often left amazed, like we heard in the last verse of the gospel. He was amazed by their lack of faith. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to give us a greater appreciation that Christ is the new temple, and in him, the merciful love of God is poured out in a consummate way, completely, totally, and to give us the disposition and the heart to embrace fully that love in our life. Because once we do, once we begin to taste it, we'll want nothing else in life. It will completely transform the way that we live.